Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Go ahead and stay standing for the reading of God's Word. Hey, we will be taking communion today and praying at the end of service, That'll be great. That'll be an awesome time in the Lord as well. We do that in remembrance of Him. Praise God. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 16. I preached out of this text several times over the years, and as I shared earlier, I believe it's one of the things the Lord is getting ready to do for the body of Christ and is getting ready to prepare the church for what I believe is the great harvest, and the harvest of souls that we're going to see, that I believe in 2025, more people coming into the kingdom of God than we've ever seen. I don't only just believe that as this church. I believe that globally for the body of Christ. I believe there's a unique window of time that we're operating in right now, I'm thankful for the time that God gives us, but I'm thankful for what He's getting ready to do through us. Amen. And so if you're with me, Matthew 28, verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying," now I want you to realize, these were some of the last things that Jesus had said to His disciples, really the last things that He said. And he says, "All authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Amen. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for this word, and I thank You, Father, for just a passion and a zeal, Father, that you're giving the body of Christ, that You're placing upon the body in this hour and in this time. Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, come into our minds, come into our hearts today. Father, give us great wisdom, give us great vision to see. Father, everything that Your word has, Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, I know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Open our ears, Father, and Lord, give us a heart to receive everything Your word has, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. You know, Jesus says this, and out of this text, He says, "All authority have been given to Me in heaven and on earth." And the commission that follows is given in the light of the authority of Jesus Christ. You know, it indicates that this is an authoritarian command. It's not a suggestion. The Great Commission isn't just, "Well, I hope you go do it. I hope you feel like doing it." You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have many people that were in the military in our church and throughout Kings, people that have served in the military. And if you come in as year one of your military service, you're going to come in as a private. You're not going to have really any. You're not coming in as a general. You guys understand that, right? You don't get off of the bus and go into basic training and become a general or a sergeant or anything like that. You come in at the very low level. And one of the things that even in the understanding of this is we understand that Jesus, of course, is the high priest, that He has all authority. He is King. Amen. And basically what He's, you know, that's why I'm saying the Great Commission is not something that, it's just a suggestion. If you feel like doing it, you should do it. No, the Great Commission is given to the body of Christ. Amen. That we would go make disciples, baptize them, teaching the Word of God. We do these things because we love Him. Amen. And so I guess just positioning yourself today to receive from God. I believe the greatest, I do, and I know I've said this already, but I believe the greatest is upon the body of Christ. I believe the prodigal sons and daughters, You know, I don't know if any of you were a prodigal son or daughter, but and you found your way home. But the prodigal sons and daughters, those people that we've been praying for, those people that we've been believing for to come into the kingdom of God, I believe that in 2025 that God's going to begin to not only move on the people's hearts, but he's going to move upon the body of Christ and the church to be witnesses. Amen. That we would be witnesses. Amen. To Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, you know, we're not going to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It might be Monongah, Mannington, Morgantown, Parkersburg. It might look something like that. Amen. And to the ends of the earth, well, some of you may end up somewhere at the ends of the earth. Maybe a missions trip to Mozambique. Amen. In Africa to visit our churches, or England, or Tonga, or Fiji, or that's starting to sound good, huh? Tahiti. Amen. Let's go down the South Pacific. That's really starting to sound good. Amen. But that we would be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. Praise God. Praise God. Let me show you some passages of scriptures, and I'm gonna kind of slow down and get into just key points around this today. But see, we have to understand our place of authority. You know, we've been spending time talking about that in the book of Ephesians. We have to understand the place of our authority. And again, hear this. It's not just that the Great Commission is given to us to read and say, oh, that's good for so-and-so, that's good for the evangelist, that's good for the pastor, that's good for the teacher, that's good for the prophet, that's good for the apostle. No, we have to see the Great Commission, it's good for all Christians. And it's good for all Christians to operate with the mindset that, man, you know, we're not, you guys understand, we're not, your earthly possessions, you're not taking to heaven. You know, a good friend of mine always would say this, and he would Dr. Mike Thompson, he would say, you know, one of these days, you know, he said a lot of people live to think that you know, behind the hearse is a U-Haul with their possessions, and people think that they're taking all these things to heaven. They're not. You're not taking things to heaven. What you take to heaven are souls. What we take to heaven are crowns in heaven that await you. Amen. There are things in heaven that await you based upon the things that you do here on earth. Amen. Isn't that good? That's good news. Amen. So we're not precious jewels, your money. You're not taking any of that. That's why, you know, that's why you never let money lord over you. That's why you never let material things lord over you or possessions lord over you. That's why, you know, that's why I say being a giver is very important. Because you know, when you become a giver, you're not tied to. You know, that's pretty. I'm going to keep a hold of that. No, just get rid of it. Amen. Somebody needed to hear that today. Amen. It's really not in my sermon, but understand this: that the authority in heaven has been given to Jesus. We understand that. He now transfers that authority to us as believers. And you know, these were the last words of Jesus. You know, I think it's important that we pay attention to the things that we pay attention to the writing. Read the red in your Bible. Amen. It's good. If you don't have a red letter Bible, get one. You know, get a Bible. And you know, I want to, you know, I like online versions. I preach out of it because I can blow it up and do all that. But you know, I still read out of the Bible, and I you know, even scriptures, I'll write my name over. That's a promise for me. That I'm going to write my name Brad right there. That's a promise for me. I can have that promise. I can possess that promise. Amen. But I want you to see something in Luke chapter 10. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Just even to talk about authority. See, because authority is given by our Heavenly Father, and it's given to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, behold, these were the 70 that come back rejoicing. Luke 10, verse 19, it says, behold, I give you the opportunity to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written. Your names are written in heaven. Amen. So Jesus is, you know, he's saying something here in this text. He said, you know, they came back. They were amazed that, you know, hey, you know, we can cast out demons. You know, in your name, in the name of Jesus, we command the spirit of infirmity to go, which is sickness. We have that authority was given to his disciples. But Jesus says, don't make that your pinnacle. Don't make that your highlight. Don't make just the miracles or the sign or the wonder your pinnacle in this, because Jesus points out, and he says very quickly, he said, you know, what's more important is that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to understand something. Guys, listen, we need the power. You need the power operating in your life. You know, it's not just at the place where if being nice to everybody and just being kind to everybody got people into heaven, there would be a lot more people in heaven, right? So we need to operate and flow in the power of God. Amen. So that we can get people to heaven. It's not to point people towards signs and wonders and miracles. You know, those things are necessary. Amen. We need those. Amen. The body, it's why we have life groups. It's why we pray. You know, it's like you want those things happening everywhere. You know, I learned that many years ago. It's like, you know, I remember Moran and I, we came home out of the missions field, and you know, I'll say this about miracles and signs and wonders. I believe in them. I believe that God is a healer. I believe that God can perform miracles. I've seen legs grow out. I've seen arches grow in feet. I've seen too much to pull away from not believing that my God's not a miracle working God. I remember Minister Lehow praying for somebody one time. God healed a cancer. You know, many of the people in this house would say that. We believe in miracles. We believe in that. And I remember that we come home and preached, and we were preaching at a church, and the altars were filled up, and there were so many people in the altars, and it was God just started healing people. There was a lady who had ears; she couldn't; her ears were blocked. Both ears just came open. There were people that couldn't. You know, there was one guy who had a hernia; hernia just automatically left. There was a guy that couldn't bend over, and all I said was, "Sir, just in the name of Jesus, reach down and touch your toes." He reached down and touched his toes, and then he got his feet up and he started jogging in place. Like, my back's healed, and God just, you know, and it was like, and I remember somebody come to us saying, you know, wow, I didn't know you guys had a healing ministry. I'm like, we don't have a healing ministry. We just believe what the Bible says, and we move in that area, and we just believe God. That we believe God for these things. Amen. We can, you know, I'm not saying that, well, you guys understand what I'm talking about. But it's, Jesus is saying, but it's better that their names be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We need the other stuff. I'm not foregoing the other stuff. I'm just saying that's not our focus. Our focus, and as we transition, you know, even into a new year, our focus, yeah, we need everything, amen, but our focus has to be to get people to heaven, to share this gospel, to share this good news. You know, it's one thing for somebody to get a miracle, but if they never get saved, we're in trouble, right? Well, you know, they got a miracle. Well, did anybody lead them to the Lord? I don't know. I don't want that to be our story. I don't want that to be our case. You know, so it's important that we as a body, we're trained, we're ready. You know, we're ready, what? To go. Amen. So Jesus, so you guys understand, you have authority, right? Everybody with me? You have authority as a believer. Amen. Praise God. So let's keep moving here into... Let me point out a few things, because why evangelism is important. Why evangelism is important. I wrote this down this morning because I used to look at a lot of data and statistics. And I wrote this down this morning, and statistically 95% of all Christians, 95% have never won someone to Christ. 95% of believers have never won someone to Christ. That's a high number, isn't it? This was 2021 data. I know that's not the case in this church, because we preference soul winning. You know, we established a go team as soon as we got here. We knew that we, you know, first and foremost, you know, if anybody asked me, you know, in planning a church or starting a church, what's one of the things that you would focus on? We never leave the area of reaching the lost. If you're going to be a church that thrives or moves in any area, you never leave the area of getting out to make sure people get one to Christ Jesus. And so we don't forgo that. I feel like that, you know, we're getting ready 2025. We're going to elevate that. There'll be great elevation, I believe, in the house, you know, through our facilities. It's so amazing that through the facilities that we've been in, we've seen maybe 8, 10, 12 people pass away over 4 or 5 years, and those people have been one to Jesus Christ. That if somebody had not sent somebody to go, amen, here I am, send me. That's what we've had take place in this house. Here I am, send me. You think, if I just go there, it does matter. It does matter, amen, that people get one to Christ. 95% of Christians have never won a soul to Christ, though. That should be alarming to the body. I'm not saying just to the church, but that should be alarming to the body. We should want to say, you know, I want to be better. I want to be stronger. 80% of Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. 80%, 8 out of 10 Christians don't witness. They don't share testimony. They're kind of locked up. They just go through life, being just in life. And less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. So, I remember many years ago, I heard this, and I ended up a great man of God said it. He said, whatever you preach and whatever you minister around is what you will get. And so I feel it's very important that as we go into a new year, 2025, I'm going to take some time over these next few weeks prior to Dr. getting here, and we're going to talk about the personal evangelism. We're going to talk about what it means to go. Amen. What it means to be established in God's word. What the Great Commission means to me. What it means to you. See, it's got to mean something to us. Amen. Because if it doesn't mean anything to us, we'll never engage in it. We'll never move into that area. You know, I've said it many times. The most dangerous Christian is one that gets saved and gets on fire for God. That's why you've got to keep yourself fired up. You've got to keep that zeal, that flare, that fire. You've got to keep that stirred up inside of you. You know, you remember when you got saved? You remember something in you was like, something's different. Something's different. Well, we've got to fan that flame. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give you 8 things today. I think it's 8. I don't know. Last sermon, I think it was 4 to 6. I don't know. But I'm going to try to focus on just 8 things. I want to give you 8 things today that will help you stay in your go and in your flow. Your go and your flow. You guys ready for this? Number one, be intentional. Number one, be intentional. So we're talking about personal evangelism. We're talking about the Great Commission. You have to be intentional. You have to be intentional to be in the Word of God. You have to be intentional to be mindful of people. You honestly, you have to truly be intentional about that, because if you're not intentional, there's so many things that are going to steal your time. People don't realize, we live in such a society today that I think it was last night. Miranda, she looks at me and says, I don't know how you do it. I was like, I had the football game on, I had my notebook out, and I had my sermon right there. She's like, how do you do that? And then for whatever reason, I flipped over on one of the social media things and I was looking. I don't do Instagram. I'm not very... You know, I was looking on Instagram. I was like, man, I need to be more on Instagram. And, you know, I was like looking through. I was like, I didn't know that person was on Instagram. I didn't know that. And then all of a sudden, 25 minutes had went by. If you're not intentional, there's plenty of things that will steal your time. You guys understand? There are plenty of things that will steal your time. You get on Facebook Marketplace. You'll see things on there that you weren't even looking for. I might buy that. That's a good deal. If you're not intentional, you'll find yourself just doing this. Which way did I go? Which way did I go? So you have to be intentional. Amen? Things that will help you stay in the go and in the flow. You have to be intentional. Look for opportunities to grow your faith. Not your knowledge there are people that, you know, like they get so crazy into sports stuff. They know players, they know percentages, they know the RBI, the RPI or whatever of every player. They know all this stuff. They'll know more about an athlete than they know about Jesus. Well, yeah, I go to church. But they could tell you the whole Yankees baseball team. You know, they traded in 10 million, 20 million. They know all that stuff because they have filled their mind up with that stuff. What are you filling your mind up with? I think that's the thing with the church. If we're gonna really be true to evangelism, we have to fill our minds up with God. Amen. With godly things. Praise God. Praise God. So we have to be intentional. Number two. We're gonna keep moving. You have to go beyond. Dr. Morocco preached a sermon about go beyond, and it's a wonderful word. Number two, you can't ask yourself how you feel. You know, do I feel like doing evangelism? Do I feel like going to church? Do I feel? There's something that has to begin to take place in a believer, amen? Because, you know, ultimately, even when you get saved, you have to move to a place where this, the mind, right? You know, the Bible says, Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, but don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So your mind begins to get into a process of renewing. How do you do that? Through the Spirit of God. Once you're born again, once you become saved, you become alive in Him. But if you don't feed that being alive in Him, you're going to be controlled by your mind. You're going to be controlled by your thoughts. You're going to be things in the world, or things in the world are screaming. You know, the Bible. You know, it's an unfortunate thing. You know, will everybody be saved? I don't believe so. You know, God's desire, His plan for humanity is that none shall perish and find life in Him. So there will always be people that are outside of God. It's not His plan. But you can't, you know, number two, if you're going to stay in the go and you're going to stay in the flow, you can't look at your feelings at, well, I just feel. You have to check that stuff. We have emotions. God created you with emotions. But I've learned over the years, I can check an emotion. I can check my anger. I can check depression with joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. My worship will trump a lot of these things. So you can check your emotions. You can check your feelings. Yeah, I remember my wife when we got married. Never mind. She's not in here. It wasn't a bad thing, but you can check your feelings every day of the month. How's that? And that's what my wife told me. My wife told me that. She said, I don't ever want to have an excuse in my life for not being a good wife. I don't want to say, well, it's this or it's that or it's this or that. And, you know, I'm accountable for my emotions. I'm accountable for my actions. Men, we are too. You know, because it's that time of the month, or it's this, or it's that. No, we're accountable. We're accountable. Men can get grumpy too. So I'm not, you know, this isn't just, you know, some men, you guys can get grumpy too. You're accountable for your actions. You're accountable for the things that you say and for the things that you speak. So you check that. You check your emotions. You check your feelings. If you're going to stay in that place of making disciples and going out, man, you have to check you. Amen. Jesus could have. Think about Jesus. They tried to kill Him, right? They tried to murder Jesus. Why? Because he referred to Himself as God. It wasn't until Jesus had basically said, I and the Father are basically one. Blasphemy. We're going to kill Him now. He thinks He's God. They were all right with Him being a good teacher, right? But when He steps out and he makes that a directive with the people, the religious people can't handle it. They get disgruntled. They get angry. They get mad. They get mad. But you know, number two, you have to check your feelings. Number three, you're always going to have something you don't like. There's going to be things in your life that you're not going to like.
Just realize that. This goes along with your emotions and with your feelings. There are going to be things in your life that you don't like. Maybe you don't like asparagus. Don't eat it. Maybe you don't like blue. Don't buy blue. You guys hear how common sense can even prevail? You know, it's like, you know, I don't like being around swearing. Then don't go to a bar. I don't like being around smokers. Don't go where smokers hang out. You know, there's a lot of common sense in the things that if we'll just apply the common sense, because, you know, understand something. To maintain flow in our life, a godly flow in our life, you have to be so observant. You have to be positioned and be ready every day of the week. You know, I'm not sitting here telling you you've got to just come down hard on people, you know, with whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But you get to a place where if you don't like something, change it. Change it. If you don't like the things that come out of your mouth, change it. You know, change it. You know, if you focus on the things that you don't like, you're never going to grow. You're never going to grow. If you, I just don't like this, just don't like that. Your focus, you've lost it. Your focus is gone. You'll never focus. And, you know, when you start hearing this, you think 98% of people don't win people to Christ. It's because it's inward focused. Again, I'm thankful this house, they're great. There's people in here that win souls. I'm thankful for that. But we have a problem, and it's because we're inward focused. We don't see the Great Commission. We see it as a suggestion and not a commandment. It's not a suggestion. That us winning and making disciples is not a suggestion. It's not, well, you know, you should try this and you should do this in your ministry. No, that's not what the Bible says. You know, I had an evangelist tell me one time, I catch the fish, you clean them. I'm like, I don't get that. All parts of the body work together. So you're telling me you want to come in and just preach and do whatever you want to do and then leave me with all the work. That's basically what you're saying. That's not how evangelism works. That's not how evangelism flows. They work together. They work in part together. It's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, these things, pastor, they work together. We're not apart from one another. That's why evangelism's not apart from kings. It's one of the things. Even when doctor, I remember him saying. He said, he's been on Maui 44 years, and I remember him telling us, when I first started going to meetings, he's like, I've probably been at every house in Maui at least twice now. Our senior global pastor, for 30 years, walked the streets of Maui with teams every Saturday, knocked on people's doors. Hey, just want to invite you to church. Do you need prayer? We can never forgo that. We can never forgo those kinds of things. Does one soul matter to God? Does one soul matter to God? Did your soul matter to God? Yeah, it did. It did. So hey, we're ramping up though. You guys, this is good, right? You guys excited? Because I think this is good. This is good that we're gonna move into this area where, look around. Everybody look around real quick. Do you see somebody that can be sitting beside you? Do you see somebody that could be sitting beside you? Do you see a friend? Do you see a neighbor? Do you see somebody that could be sitting beside you? Maybe somebody that's lost. Maybe somebody that doesn't have a home church. Maybe somebody that doesn't that needs disciples. Somebody that needs relationship. Do you see somebody? Because that's what's going to take. You have to begin to see it. If you don't see it, you'll never possess it in your heart. You've got to begin to see it. I think sometimes we make it like, well, you do need to know the word. It's important that you have understanding of the word. But I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I didn't know all this. But I knew what was inside of me. There was a power inside of me. I had to tell people about Jesus. You need to get saved. You know, I remember my boss coming in at work. He's like, you know, what's going on with you? You know, you're staying after work with all these people. Heck, I was running Bible study in Fairmont 25 years ago. It's funny that God would bring me back to Fairmont. Kingmont, a little office. Fire God hit me. Everything in my life shifted. And there, you know, it was like, you know, what's different about you? You know, I didn't see you at this place. It's called a bar. Last night, I guess that's what it's called. But what's different about you? What's changed in you? Jesus. Really? What? Can you tell me about that? Yeah. I can tell you. You know, I told Miranda last night, one of the things that's interesting about people's salvation, people don't realize that when people get saved, the one thing that the world does, the one thing that Christians do, the one thing that everybody does around you, they watch. They watch. I shared this story about Brother Stephen. I don't think he was here the first service. I had contractors in my house come in and work, and they work with Stephen. And they knew I was the pastor of Kings, and they knew Stephen had been going to church here. And every one of those guys would come in and say, "Hey, so Stephen, wow, I work with him." And this is about a year and a half into him being saved. You know, I work with him. He's pretty fiery, huh? Man, he really loves Jesus, huh? You know, he's all the time just witnessing and ministering to us. You know what? He even shows up to work on time. If I need something, I can call him and he'll go out on a job with me. You guys understand your witness isn't just that you minister to somebody. The fact that he shows up on time, that's ministering also. That's a part of your witness. See, we think about making disciples, becoming a disciple, making a disciple. It's the whole person. Number four. Where am I at? Number three or four? Four. Number four. You got to be the whole person. You've got to be the whole person. You've got to be a son and daughter of integrity, of good character. You have to. Everything in you has to. You have to love God, yes. But you represent the King. You represent Him. How do you represent the King? Think about that. You've got to be the whole person. You've got to be complete. You know, my wife looked at me, it's funny, she did look at me the other day, and she's like, are you going to, I got up and I just studied, a little bit of a cold, praise God it's gone, and she looked at me, she said, are you going to do anything today? I'm like, well, I've been studying. She's like, your hair's a mess, and you got an old pair of pants on, and I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, I went back in, I started studying, and I was like, you know, there's a piece of that she's right. You've got to be whole, and you've got to be complete. You know, above all else, you know, not as a pastor, but as a husband, I should care about what I look like for my wife. Amen? Amen? And that was the Lord speaking to me over that. And I was like, you know, yeah, I should go comb my hair. You know, don't take things for granted. You know, and my wife, she gets up, she combs her hair, she puts nice clothes on, she brushes her teeth, amen. She's watching, I'm going to get in trouble for that. She does brush her teeth every day. But she puts makeup on, she looks good. She looks good for me. Amen. But you do these things. You do these things because you love people. Amen. But you do these things because you love God. You love God. Somebody might argue with that, but it's important that you see that side of it as well.
What number are we on? Five. You got voted down. Number five, don't have a dead attitude. Don't have a dead attitude. If anybody should be happy, if anybody should be joyful, it should be Christians. Don't have a dead attitude. You like being around life or you like being around death? I like life. Amen. So don't have a dead attitude. Psalms 115, verse 17. Psalms 115, verse 17. It says, "The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave." Catch that one more time. Psalms 115, 17. "The dead cannot sing praises to the Lord, for they have gone into the silence of the grave. But we can praise the Lord both now and forever." Praise the Lord. Guys, listen. You praise the Lord now and you praise the Lord later. You know the bonus of getting saved here is that we get to start here. But we get to do it for an eternity. It's forever. That's why attitude is so important. Checking your attitude in everything that you do and everything that you are is so important. Your attitude matters. My attitude matters. Right? What if I came into church and was just bad attitude? The only people that are going to be in here are ones that have bad attitudes. That's truth, though, right? That's what, you know, whatever you are is what you attract. Whatever you're around is what you attract. So if you've got a bad attitude, you gossip, you slander, you have that kind of stuff, guess what? That's what you're going to attract. You do that stuff, it's a principle of sowing and reaping. Most people, they don't realize that that's scriptural. You know, giving is a principle, sowing and reaping. People, so your attitude, if you have a lousy attitude, you know, you'll find 10 people that have lousy attitudes. They'll jump right in that boat with you. And you'll row in circles. That's what people do. They'll sit and trying to get somewhere, trying to go somewhere, but they'll just you know, how do I know this stuff? Guys, I think that if you live any amount of time, you realize, man, I've got to fix this. I've got to do this because I believe that God wants to position the church to become disciple makers. To become disciple makers. Not only to win the loss, but to become disciple makers. And listen, we at every step, every level, when people look at me, I want them to see God. I want them to see Jesus replicated in my life. Not me, but I want them to see Jesus. You know, and that's what Stephen's workers, they were seeing Jesus in him. Wow, you know, he prays. He gets up in the morning time and prays. Who does that? You guys do that? Yeah, we do that every Monday through Friday. We pray. You know, there's so many things I could say, but see, your patterns in life are important. You've got to establish patterns in your life. Don't just go through life hoping things work out. You can know that things can work out. You can know that things can work out. You know, my schedule, it's interesting. My schedule has been just, I don't know, for whatever reason, I have been off. My schedule has just like been off. And I'll find myself up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. Get 2 or 3 hours of sleep. And I was like, you know, Lord, this has got to shift. Because what it's doing, it's affecting my mind. It's affecting my mind. So, you know, go to the source. I don't want to stay in a place another week where I'm going 2 and 3 weeks where I'm not getting good rest. Staying up till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, just thinking or doing this or doing that. You know, no, I need rest because it's going to bring health to my body. Can I tell you that rest will bring health to your body? Resting your mind will bring health to your body. You pray around that. You get yourself, I know this is a little different than the first service, but you get yourself into that place where you know, your mind's just running and you got all these things flowing through your mind. There's no peace. There's no peace. And you know, if you don't have peace, can you bring peace to people? No.
You can't bring peace to people that if you have no, if you know, you're in the boat with five people that don't have peace. Guys, listen, you whatever you are and whatever you become, that's what you're going to attract. You will attract what you are. You want to be a disciple maker? Make a disciple, be a disciple. You want to do that? Then be the part, play the part. Amen? Jesus chose 12 for a reason, but I love the fact that Jesus chose 12 disciples that flipped the modern world upside down. 12. 12. There's more than 12 here. Amen? Amen. Wouldn't it be great for every one of us to have 12 unders? Amen. Praise God. So don't have a dead attitude. You know, be fun to be around. Don't be dead. Be fun to be around. You know, don't be just serious. You know, you can have a serious personality, but be fun to be around. Be somebody that, you know, when people look at you, they're like, man, I really like being around that person. I really, you know, there's something about, they're fun to be around. You know, just when you get saved doesn't mean you, I think sometimes people get saved and they think, well, I have to be a serious person now. No, you don't have to be. You can still laugh. You can, you know, don't tell bad jokes. Don't tell coarse jokes. You might not laugh at the same things that you used to laugh about, but have fun. You know, people, they put all these restrictions. Well, I got saved. Serious face. I got saved. Just living saved now. You see the problem with that? Because, you know, people are going to look at it and say, why do I want to do that? Why do I want to? Your face. Locate your face. Fix your face, right? But it's true. I'm saved. There was a picture. The missionaries that came to Hawaii in the 1800s. In the Wananalua church where we rented this church. I think Minister Lehigh would remember it, but every picture of every missionary and their wife, their pictures were like this. For those watching, that was the picture of every missionary. And I walked in and I was like, man, they must have really loved their jobs, huh? And I think in the 1800s, they wouldn't let women smile in pictures. There's like some things around that. But every picture of every missionary was a look of frown. I'm like, I need my picture up there with a big, you know, put me and Miranda up there. Yeah. Be fun to be around. Amen. If your face looks bad, locate your face. Look at your face. Say, look in the mirror. Practice. You know, make yourself laugh. Amen. Some of you need to do that. Amen. Make yourself laugh. Amen. Number six. Which one am I on, six or seven? Six. God likes, can I tell you this? God likes go. He likes the go. You know, what I love about God is in the going, you know, what God's looking for? He likes zeal. He likes passion. He likes that kind of stuff. God, you know, God likes your personality. He created you. But you know, he loves your zeal. He loves your passion. What you're passionate about, he loves. But I'm trying to get this in you today. We have to be mindful and passionate about people. This ministry isn't about me. It's not about Miranda. It's not. It's about us reaching people, discipling and seeing people changed. It's about when we have kids workers downstairs. It's discipling kids. It's getting the word into them. It's babies in the back. It's getting God into them. When I look around and because I you know what I know the teachers do here in classes? I know they teach the word and I know they teach kids around worship. You know how I know that? When worship's going on, what are these kids doing? They're praising God and worshiping God. They're not saying, "Can I have my iPhone? Can I have my iPad? Can I have?" No. They're over there belting out, screaming, praising God. Was it Malia? Right? You can hear her just over everybody in the whole church. You can hear her singing. And I just, you know, there's a great joy in that. So I know what they're teaching. That they're making disciples. Amen. That's what we're going to do. We're going to elevate that. And guys, listen. You know, we will need, this isn't just a plea. We will need more kids workers. Most people, you know, they forgo working with kids. Guys, you hear this too, because I've worked with kids all the way through church stuff. Well, that's a woman's job. No, it's not. You clear a background check. You get involved. And, you know, what happens when you go into a classroom and you're teaching fourth and fifth graders, seventh and eighth graders, second and third graders, kindergarten, preschoolers? You go in, you prepare a message, you prepare a lesson. What it's doing, it's preparing you. It's preparing you. People, oh, I can't do that. I'm not called to kids. Get over yourself. Bake cookies then. Work with the kids department. Bake cookies. Do something. I'm not trying to harp on things here, but we have to become so passionate about making disciples it doesn't leave our hearts. You know, I tell you, the one thing I will not be, and I do not want to be, and honestly will not, we're not going to be a church that just sits. I had somebody look at me and say, you know, man, you guys get a lot of people serving. You know what I say as a pastor? We don't have enough serving. We don't get, we've got to get, because if the harvest is upon us and it's that great, we don't have near enough. We don't have enough. That's why we have to pray. We pray for the laborers. We pray for the people. We pray. We don't have enough people in prayer. We don't have enough worshipers. We don't have enough kids workers. You see where your pastor's setting his faith for 2025? We're setting our faith for the harvest. We're not in enough facilities. Everybody in here that's in facilities, they would say the same thing. Why? Because we know that people in facilities, if they don't hear the gospel, guess what? Man, anyway. You guys get it, right? You get it. So God likes, he likes our go. He likes fire. He likes your zeal. He likes your passion. You know, Peter had great zeal. You know, I love Peter's life because we can look at his life. Peter was a little rough, right? It's like what I said earlier. You know, Peter was like that guy from West Virginia, right? He's got some country in him. He's not all polished. He doesn't look like everybody else. You know, when somebody goes to attack Jesus, what's Peter do? He pulls out his sword and cuts off the ear of a soldier. You know, Jesus comes to wash all of his disciples' feet, and Peter stands up and says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I need to wash your feet. Jesus looks and says, Peter, sit down. Shut up, basically. If you don't allow me to do this, you have no part in me. Peter's getting checked. You'll see it, you know, Peter, kill and eat. You'll see it in Acts. Peter was a Jew, you know, he was Jewish. So, you know, I can't eat. No. Kill and eat. Peter freed from prison. Yeah, so many things that you see, you know, and what I love about Peter's life, you know, Jesus had showed Peter that, look, Peter, you're going to have denied me. You're going to have denied me. Everybody say, but God. See, because this is what God does. God, he loved Peter so much, the zeal, the passion, the fire. Even when Peter missed it and when Peter messed up, you know what Jesus did? Jesus went and he restored him. Peter, do you love me? That's what Jesus said. Peter, do you love me? That feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Three times he asked, do you love me? Tend my sheep. Do this, Peter. My church, Peter. My church, Peter. My church, my people. Take care of them. Take your Bibles. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I love this text because in the writing, because it's to have a go, to have a fire, to have a zeal, to have a passion. You know, I love this in 1 Peter 3:13. Because Peter, this writing is so powerful. It says, now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Because Peter's saying, you know, we should hunger and desire to do good. You should desire to be good and do good. Amen? Not just give lip. I'm good, but not. But you know, be good. Be good. Amen. But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Yeah, guys, this is important right now. So you go to church. You know what? You go to church, people are like, yeah. No. We have to have a zeal, a passion. No, I go to church. You saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I'm beyond saved. You're not saved. I'm beyond saved. No, I'm saved. I love Jesus. You know, you ever meet someone say, well, I hope I'm saved. I hope. No. You can know. Amen. You can know that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope I make it one day. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I sin every day. Sin. What's happening is they're focused on the inwards. They're focused on flesh. Just sin. Attitude, compromise. Not living with light, but living. Their mind's trapped and living in darkness. I don't get that. But people, you need Jesus. When you fall, you repent, get things right. But if you go around and say, I sin, guess what you're going to do? You're going to sin. You're almost to the place where there's not even a sacrifice for your sins. You're so wrapped up in sins. And you're so caught up in that. I mean, aren't you thankful that you're not where you were when you first got saved? I say that a lot in here. Aren't you thankful that God put his finger on this and put his finger on that? And that God's, his grace, full of mercy, he's still willing to put his finger on things? Amen. You allow that to take place. You get better, you get better, and you get better. See, that's the process of discipleship. I'm going to tell you, discipleship will cost everything. It'll cost the church everything. But that's a part of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Preach, baptize, teach. Man, that's powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Amen. Isaiah, and I love this because we have to have an attitude of going, in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, Then I heard the Lord ask, whom shall I send as a message to the people? Who will go for us? This is what the Lord's asking. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Write your name in there. Hey, this is me. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am. Send me. Go ahead, verse 9. And he said, go. What's the word here? Go. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Go. Isaiah, you know what he did? He answered the call. I believe many people in here have answered the call. Yeah, I do. I believe people have answered the call. But in the call, it's so important that we look at the mission. I'm not talking about vision today, but I'm looking at mission. God has one mission for the church right now, and I believe it's a mission that we can't forgo. That's to win the lost. That's to win the lost. And then, then we disciple. We make disciples. You know what making a disciple can look like? I don't know why I'm using Brother Stephen, as an example, but, I don't know, it's funny because, we've met a few times just to talk. Do we sit around and talk about all spiritual things? No. We go to Burger King, grab a cheeseburger, we got a little table in the back. Every time we've been there now, a couple times, it's available. Let's go to our spot, we've got Burger King spot, right? And we talk, and I think sometimes you don't complicate.
You know, what I asked even, what's the Lord saying to you? What do you feel like the Lord's showing you? And he responds. You know, can I tell you, that's important. It's important to know. What's the Lord saying? What's the Lord speaking? What do you see? Because I, you know, what I know, number what? What number are we on? Seven, think. Number seven, think. You need to think as a believer. You need to be in the process of having time where you actually think. If you're not, you know, guys, I'm not thinking like not thinking in the sense of like you think and then you come up with 27 projects. That's not what I'm talking about. Because I think sometimes that's what people think thinking is about. Well, I got to do this and I got to do. You'll never if you need a list of things to do, you can think that way. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. I need to fix this. I need to fix that. Think and talk with the Lord. Meet with the Lord. And I want to give you this because if you get into a place where you meditate and you're meditating upon the things of God and you're thinking and you come up with 10 or 12, 15, 20 things, you know, slow down, back up. Because you're not going to handle 12 or 15 things. I need to do this. I need to do that. You know, there's things that I'm doing right now that I will do tomorrow because the Lord has quickened me. But I can't do all 10 things tomorrow. I've got to do step one, step two. Two steps, I know me. I know my personality. Know your abilities. Know your patterns. Change the one thing that you can change, maybe two. That's why that whole thing would thrive this year. Can you change one thing? Can you change two things? It's been a tough word. Because you know what Thrive has done is it's all inward. I'm not meaning that in a negative way, but it's caused us to how do I become stronger? How do I look at my it's not like I said, it's not a prideful thing, but how do I look at myself so that I can be stronger for people out there? I'm building myself up. Amen. I'm building myself up, but you know, not only praying in the Holy Spirit, but being strong in body, being strong in spirit, being strong. So others around me will, you know, you will attract what you are. Can't say that enough. You will attract what you are. What you become, you will attract. You have to think, spend time, meditate. You know, get journal books, write things down. It's so important. You know, I'm thankful. You know, a lot of people do that in this house. They write things down. They take notes. It's go back and look at your notes, though. I do every year. I start a notebook every year. And I went back and I've looked over this past year from my time in conference in January of last year and the certain things that the Lord's spoken to me, things that I want to accomplish, things that I'm seeing God do, and honestly, certain things that I haven't seen that I was believing for. You know, I think it's Joyce Myers, I heard her say this. It's like, it's better to believe God for a lot and see half of it come to pass than none of it come to pass. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be, well, it's just all or nothing. See, people do that. They'll develop, you know, if I can't have this, I'm just going to quit. You know, I believe God for 15 or 20 things, but you know, if 6 or 7 or 10 of them come to pass, praise God. Amen. Somebody needed to hear that today. Amen. And number eight, I'm going to finish this last one. To get in the go and stay in the flow, you've got to remain thankful. 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 I know it's in my notes somewhere. Be appreciative, remain thankful. Yeah. if you remain thankful, others in your life are going to see that. You know, I hope you hear what I'm saying today, because it's not just you. It's you and the others that are around you. You know, when you talk about things like authority, and you talk about things like, you know, this world and this culture that we're in will push back against this stuff. Nobody gonna tell me what to do. Nobody gonna tell me how to be. Nobody, you don't have any right. You don't this. You don't that. If you have that mindset, you know, and that's stuff God had to break out of me when I got saved. Because I had to conform my mind to the Word of God, not to what I thought, not to my opinion. I just had to learn to keep my mouth shut a lot of times. That's the honest truth. Just shut up. Well, you know, I think, where's that at? I don't know. Just what I heard someone say. Just chill. Sometimes that's what we have to do. We just have to chill. And that's okay. That's okay. But, you know, if you remain thankful, you know, that's what's going to push you and drive you into your mission. Thankfulness is, there's such a key to thankfulness. Yeah, I went through last week and I just, you know, I don't know, several people in here, I felt such a gratitude for people. And my heart was heavy with gratitude. Like, I mean, like, heavy, and it's still heavy with gratitude. And I was like, at the point where I would look at people, and I just, you know, God, I just want to thank you. And I was ready to cry, because there was such a gratitude of thankfulness. Not, you know, but see, it's the same gratitude I have for God. I'm thankful that God has spared my life. I'm thankful that He's called me. Amen. I'm thankful that He's positioned me. I'm thankful that I'm in West Virginia. I'm thankful for the things that I'm seeing and how God's... I'm thankful. He's merciful. Man, isn't God good? Remain thankful. Remain thankful. I think those are 8 things. I'm going to stay around this for just a few weeks, because we're going to ramp up for the new year. We're going to ramp up for the new year. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Minister, if you would. I think that was 8. I guess a bonus one. 9. Some of you guys are standing up. 9. Whatever you do, do in love. Whatever you do, do in love. You know, Paul in Romans 12:9 says, don't just pretend to love others. Ooh-wee. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? That's so good. Don't just look the part or pretend. Oh, bro, I love you at church. But if I see you at Walmart catches a lot of my stores. I actually don't go there that much, to be honest with you. I prefer Aldi's. So, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. That's what Paul's saying in the Word. Don't just pretend to love them. Really love them. You will attract what you are. God sees through fake things. So if you try to be all lovey-lovey and you're not, it's really not in your heart, who sees it? Who else sees it? People see it. So we love others, right? Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Man, that's... You want to talk about being a disciple maker? You're forgoing you. You're saying that others matter more than yourself. Love others. Treat others the way what you want to be treated. Amen. The golden rule. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. That's why you do it with a passion. You do it with a zeal. You do it, you know, what I love? I mean, when people go to these facilities, they're not walking into facilities down, frown, looking like a clown. I'm going to wrap it up. Amen. So they don't go that way. They go in with a smile. They go in with a zeal. They go in with a love for God's people. You know, and to be honest with you, if our teams were like that, I'd take them out. There'd be no way. You're not going to take that depression there. You're not going to take that fear into a place like that. You put your game on. When you go in there, you be ready. We don't send people out into where the residents have to go pray for our teams. We don't do that. You know, we're here to get prayer. We don't do that. Greg and Angela aren't walking into Phase Yokes. You know, you guys pray for us. We've had a rough day. John don't take his team up to Morgantown. You know, call the residents around. You guys. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in this confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Keep on praying. Pastor Brad's talking about prayer. Oh, he's always going to talk about prayer. You know why? It's because I have a senior global leader, Dr. Morocco. That's what he talks about. And he's saying, you know, you guys praying? How many people you got in prayer? How many people you got in prayer? How's your early morning prayer going? How's your early morning prayer going? We live through prayer. Corporately, we live through that. Amen. We learn through prayer. We learn through prayer. We believe God. Amen. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager. And I love this out of the NLT. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Be eager. Be eager. Be eager. Be eager to do for others. Man, how do you do that? You become. You gotta remove attitude. You gotta remove the junk, right? Because I believe that's what God's doing. He's removing all the junk. We're getting all the junk out. We're getting all the junk out. We're getting, you know, bitterness, unforgiveness, strife, all those things. We're getting rid of it. Amen. It's all gone because it's he paid a price for it and it's under our feet, but we're coming up higher. Why it's like I said, it's so much about positioning right now. You know, we need more life groups. We need more people raised up. Can I be honest? We need more people raised up that aren't just trying to figure it out. I'm just trying to figure out this Christianity thing. We need people that are no longer struggling, walking in victory, victorious. Believe God, right? I mean that to be able to step into more positions, to be a disciple maker. I'm looking at those people. I'm looking at those people in Kings. That's what I'm looking at. People saying, yeah, that's me. Getting people matched up with the right people. Women ministering to women. Men ministering to men. You know, I did say something, and I said something last week. I've had two people approach me now, but you know, I felt to give this month of December. I'm going to give certain things. I am going to give, but I'm willing to give time. I've had two people. I'll schedule that with you guys today. But to give of time, because you know, I told the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, I'll do what you asked me to do. And the Lord said, you know, it's easy for you just to give money, or it's easy for you to give a gift. Are you willing to give up of your time? And I was like, ouch. What's that mean, Lord? It's like, well, give up of your time. Maybe somebody wants to meet with you and Pastor Miranda. Maybe it's about marriage. Maybe it's about finances. Maybe it's about a job. Maybe it's about business. But maybe it's just about life in general. Carve off that time. I said, yes, Lord. And today will be the last day I share that, because I'm not trying to make people do anything. I'm not trying to make people do anything. But I realized something a long time ago. You to be a disciple maker and to become a disciple, you have to be willing to give of yourself. You know, do I have everything figured out? No, I don't. You know, the good thing about over doing this several years, though, I do have people that I have access to. People that I can call if somebody has a question about. You know, I had somebody ask me about stocks the other day. I said, you know what? Let me put you in contact with the right person. I don't tell people how to invest. I will never. I don't do that. That's not smart. So you don't do that. So somebody asked me about it. It's like, you know, check this out. Read. Gather information. Important. I'm jumping around, but let's move to close this, and we're going to take communion this morning. Listen, everybody, just bow your heads this morning.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.